Namaste Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This morning we'll cover three verses, just finishing the response, of the sages, milking the cow, drawing from Sutta, more Krishna Katha. As is a theme in this canto, from the first chapter, being repeated here is that same theme. What are the qualifications for transmission of transcendental knowledge? Well, who's the qualified speaker? Who's the qualified audience? What's the relationship? If we want to have spiritual fruit. So, the sages are demonstrating their qualification, mainly is their eagerness to hear. And they're describing Sutta Goswami's qualification as a speaker. So, when the combination of those two things are there, transcendental knowledge is passed on. So they say in text 15, O Sutta Goswami, you... Here's some of his qualifications. You are a learned and pure devotee of the Lord because the personality of Godhead is your chief objective of service. Sutta Goswami is not learned because he's read a lot. But he's learned. He may have read a lot or may not have read a lot. He's learned because the personality of Godhead is his chief objective of service. One who becomes the knower of the absolute truth becomes the knower of all things. One becomes the knower of the absolute truth by devotion, and then becomes the knower of all things. The knower of all things doesn't mean that the person is a walking encyclopedia, although they may be, like Bhaktisiddhanta was a walking encyclopedia. They may not be, and that's perfectly okay too. But to know, become the knower of all things doesn't mean just filled with data. Computers can be filled with data, and they're not the knower of all things. Because they're not, there's no consciousness, there's no understanding of the soul's eternal relation with the Supreme. On two occasions, Prabhupada was asked, Swamiji, we've heard that one who becomes the knower of Krishna is the knower of all things. How many windows are there in the Empire State Building? And another time, how many grains of sand are there in the Sahara Desert? And Prabhupada's answer was, how many drops of water are there in a mirage? The knower of all things doesn't mean empiric information. Knower of all things is to understand reality and illusion. That's the essence of the thing. Clear? The knower of all things does not identify with the features of a dream. In the dream, one can be high or low, one can be king, one can be being chased in a death experience. Tiger, like Prabhupada says, being swallowed by a tiger. How can you dream that? Anyway, that's the other thing. it doesn't hold any reality. A dream doesn't hold reality. A mirage doesn't hold water. How many drops of sand in the Sahara Desert? And how many windows in the Empire State Building? Are maybe some question asked in a trivia quiz, but it's not what is essential knowledge for one who becomes the knower of Krishna. That's not the kind of knowledge. Anyway, so there is another kind of knowledge. That one is saying he's learned. Very clearly understands matter and spirit, the relative position of both, and the absolute position of the personality of Godhead. The qualification of a pure devotee, so just as the qualification of learned, is that one has exclusive shelter. We were discussing this yesterday, exclusive shelter, akinchana. And then the consequence of one who is akinchana, apunar bhavam, one doesn't see birth and death again. One's not presently identifying with anything material, and that continues in the future. There is positive spirit, there is positive a shelter, it's spiritual shelter, but no material shelter, akinchana. So exclusive shelter in the personality of Godhead, one gets knowledge. What is the verse? Sloka Rajas in the class here. From the second chapter, first canto, where knowledge and detachment follow from devotional service. Yeah. Could you hear him in the back? Yeah? A little louder.
Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Yanagati Asurairagyam Yanam Chit Haitukam.
And the translation for those who are? Roughly. Paraphrase.
And the right word is a useful Lord Vasudeva. Knowledge and
a causeless thing. Prabhupada gives the example of a queen with attendants. The queen lives in the palace of the king. The queen has attendants or ladies-in-waiting, different terms. So as the queen goes here and the queen goes there, the attendants and the ladies-in-waiting, they go here and they go there. They follow her wherever she goes. And what is her interest? Her qualification as the queen? She's simply interested in the king. That's the qualified queen. And so her decorations are her attendants. Similarly, a devotee of the Lord has one shelter. The Lord's service. Shelter of the Lord means the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord's lotus feet mean service. It's the meaning. The import when taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet means service. So through the medium of service, causelessly, knowledge and detachment, they become attendant resources for that devotee. Causelessly it happens. It's causeless because it's just part of Krishna's internal potency. You immerse yourself in Krishna's internal potency by serving him. And when you're immersed in Krishna's internal potency, knowledge is there. And renunciation is there. Pure devotion. So, Sutta, you're the qualified speaker. Because you have this exclusive shelter in Krishna. He's your exclusive object of service. Therefore, now they're indicating their own qualification. Please describe to us the pastimes of the Lord. This is the qualification of the audience, eager to hear. You don't have to be MA PhD. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be poor. You don't have to be black or white or orange. You don't have to be any, there's no material qualification. There's a spiritual qualification, eager to hear. That's all. Please describe to us the pastimes of the Lord which are above all material conception. Now they're glorifying messages themselves. Messages of transcendence are transcendental. They're beyond material conception, which means mind cannot comprehend them. You can't gain them by stretching the mind. Called mental speculation. Perhaps maybe won't do it. What is the verse from Brahma Samhita? Pantastu koti satra vatsara sambhargam yo bayo ratapi manaso mudipungavanam. You know that verse? Lord Brahma says, if you can travel at the speed of the wind or the mind, build a craft, a vimana, travels that fast. And travel for millions and millions and millions of years. You'll still never reach even the tip of the toe of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Because he's on another plane. The mind cannot encompass the Lord. You can't capture him that way. He's beyond the energy of mana. But he can appear within the mind at the same time by devotion. Then he makes his appearance. It's another operative factor besides mental speculation. Beyond, you're above all material conception. We are anxious to receive such messages. Now, in the purport, Prabhupada explains. So we've indicated some qualification of speaker, some qualification of audience. In between, Prabhupada explains the importance of having no material objective, both from the speaker and from the audience side. There are speakers that have material objective, and there are audiences that have material objective. The material objective of the speaker may be, it's a good means of maintenance. I have a gift of gab, or a good orator, and instead of being a statesman where it's nasty, I'll be a spiritualist and it's less nasty. And I'll just use my gift of oration to maintain myself. Nice program. That's a disqualifier. Having a material motivation. Or, I don't want money, I want adoration and distinction. Labha, puja, and pratishta. Labha is I want remuneration. Puja and pratishta, I want worship and I want titles and special honors. Then I'll speak a lot. So, that's a disqualifier. It's another way of saying someone who has material shelter. Instead of akinchana, it's kinchana. And the audience may also understand that through this very auspicious activity of hearing the scriptures being recited, I'll get my material benefits. I'll get piety. And from that piety, I'll get the fruits of piety. And from the fruits of piety, I'll enjoy material happiness. And if I continue doing this steadily, eventually I'll qualify myself for liberation. So if one sees the activity of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or hearing Krishna Katha as part of the Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha system, then it's a material conception of what it is, which is wrong, and it's a material motivation which blocks the full spiritual benefit from coming. Something comes, but not the full spiritual benefit. So the qualified audience is one that's not seeking some material benefit, and the qualified speaker is not seeking any material benefit. The speaker simply wants to be a transparent medium for the passing of this message as an instrument or servant of Vyasadeva or the disciplic succession. And they have no other purpose but the shelter of the Lord and serving Him. That's the qualified speaker. And the qualified audience is they're not looking for Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. They're looking for, they're eager to hear about the Lord. So the two Sanskrit terms in the text, Bhagavat Pradana, that's the speaker, and Shushrushatam, which Prabhupada has translated as those who are receptive. Shushrushatam. Then, so this is the conditions where transcendental knowledge is passed on. We have a comparable verse in Bhagavad Gita. Tadvidhi pranipatena. 434. Pariprasnena sevaya. Uvadekshanti te gyaninas tatvadarshanam. The tatvadarshi can bring one to the position where one can see the truth. Because they're seeing the truth. They can disclose. Here it is. And one can actually experience. Aha, there it is. So, and we all have the experience, too much experience, that in the name of religiosity, so many things go on. And people get frustrated, so many things. And they're not satisfying. So, out of frustration, it's one of the reasons that people go away from religion, they're frustrated. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says that's one of the reasons why people go away. One has to get on the other side of that frustration. Or fear. Wow, I have to surrender. In the absolute realm, there's a person. I have so many problems with persons. Better have no person. Then I won't have problems. Better to be anesthetized. Then I won't have any pain. You won't have any pleasure either. You won't have any feeling. It's not natural. It's not our natural condition. Our natural condition is a loving relationship with people, the Supreme Person. Attachment, fear, and frustration are the three obstacles every transcendentalist has to overcome. I mean, that's us. We have to overcome our attachments. We have to overcome our fears. We have to overcome the frustrations. There's so many things out in the marketplace that says, this is the real thing, and that's the real thing, and that's the real thing. Get it? I'm going my own way. It happens. Krishna describes it in Bhagavad Gita. It's not a new thing. It's an age-old thing. So here's the real thing. These pages of the Bhagavatam are describing the principles that need to be in place to experience the real thing. And as we were discussing yesterday, what's the eligibility to experience the real thing? It's the sincere desire to have it. Krishna will send you the real thing. And when you have the real thing, you have to have the sincere desire to experience it. Oh, Suta Goswami, please describe those topics of the Lord by which Maharaj Parikshit, whose intelligence was fixed on liberation, attained the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of Garuda, king of the birds. Those topics were vibrated by the son of Vyas, Sri the Shukadeva Goswami. They're not specifically asking about more about Maharaj Parikshit, because Sutta has said I've pretty much exhausted the basic points about Maharaj Parikshit. But now they want to hear the topics which Maharaj Parikshit heard. It's getting ready for second canto. We're nearly at the end of the first canto. Because the second canto is where Sukadeva Goswami begins to speak. Please tell us those topics. So naturally, in the narration, you have to introduce the persona, the player, the actors, the drama, dramatic actors in the drama. Shukadeva Goswami makes his entrance onto the stage of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's coming up. Dramatis personae, I think that's the Latin. So, they want the topics. And they value Sutta Goswami as the deliverer, the transparent, realized deliverer of those topics. Now, in the purport, there's three references. Does anybody have a Bhagavad Gita, or can someone get a Bhagavad Gita? English, please. So, one of those references is Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text Number 9. Sukadeva Goswami begins to speak. And Sukadeva Goswami says, let's look up 12.5. Sukadeva Goswami says that he was previously situated in Brahman realization. Prabhupada says, he admits, I wasn't a devotee. I was neutral. But, something happened. I heard the Srimad Bhagavatam and I became attracted to the lotus feet of the Lord. As we know from the Atmarama Sloka from the 7th chapter, even Shukadeva Goswamis, even persons in the Brahman realized stage who have no material attraction, become attracted to this Srimad Bhagavatam, which means it's fully transcendental and its variegatedness is fully transcendental. For persons who aren't attracted to anything material, they become attracted to this. So, he being unattracted to anything material, Shukadeva Goswami was a qualified audience to hear from Vyasadeva, who was a qualified speaker. So he got it. And then he became the qualified speaker. And he spoke it. Maharaj Parikshit, who was a qualified audience. And Sutta, who was in the audience, and also a qualified audience, a recipient. That's the system. It's reproducible. It's scientific. In a real sense of scientific. Then Prabhupada discusses the three stages of bhakti. We hear them in different ways, different terms, but Kanishtha, Madhyama, and Uttama, those three stages. And he chooses to start with the Uttama, that's Shukadeva Goswami. He uses, instead of Uttama Adhikari, he says Mahabhagavata, first class devotee, kind of bunching those. Sometimes Prabhupada makes distinctions. Here he chooses not to, he kind of blends them into one category, the topmost position. They see Krishna everywhere. Mahabhagavata does not make any distinction. He sees everything in relation with the Lord, and the Lord present in everyone's relation. Therefore, it doesn't make any distinction, particularly between devotee and non-devotee. The Madhyama is supposed to. The Madhyama does, and the Madhyama is supposed to. If we, by pretense, try to be on the, pretend that we're on the Mahabhagavata platform and don't make any distinctions, we're in trouble. Big trouble. But Shukadeva Goswami was beyond the Madhyama position. And then the Kanishtha position, or Prakriti position. Temple worshippers without specific knowledge of the Lord and the Lord's devotees. So we're being trained to become good Madhyamas. So that we can become gradually and progressively first-class devotees. That's the game plan. The second verse that Prabhupada quotes is 12.5 Bhagavad Gita. I'll just read the paraphrase. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that persons stuck on the impersonal step undergo more sufferings than achievement of reality. 12.5 Bhagavad Gita. So in chapter 12, Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks for the third time, this time more explicitly than the previous times, which is better? Meditating on the impersonal or meditating on the personal feature of you. He asks it in a different way, beginning of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 5. He asks it explicitly here. Three times should be enough, right? One should be enough. But it's three times because it's something that persons get stuck on. They're not really sure. Should I? Or should I? In texts 3 and 4, text 2, Krishna says, those who fix their minds upon my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. Direct answer. But those who worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed, and immovable, the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engaged in the welfare of all, at last achieve me. And then the reference from this purport. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested and personal feature of the supreme advancement, very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult. For those who are embodied, that's most of us here, we're embodied. It's always difficult. Troublesome. So, the way that Prabhupada is paraphrased, person stuck on impersonal step undergo more suffering than achievement of reality. It's unnatural. It's not the ultimate reality. It's for persons who are averse to what the ultimate reality is. They want to make advancement towards reality. They're frustrated. I was going to say fried. They're frustrated with the variegatedness of material existence. It causes me so much problem. Let me make it zero. And with an enormous effort of sense control and anesthetizing the mind, blanking the mind, shutting the mind down. You can't shut the mind down. Trying to shut the mind down as best as possible. Become one with the Supreme. Or become one with nothing, one or the other. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. One or the other. And there's like twins. Both born of the same mother, frustration. Just so much trouble. More trouble than advancement towards reality. Shukadeva was in one of those positions. He was in the Brahman realized position. As soon as he heard Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, immediately he was attracted. Therefore, knowledge imparted by Shukadeva Goswami unto Maharaj Parikshit helped him attain the service of the Lord, which means it will help us attain the service of the Lord. To hear that dialogue, it will help the sages to hear from Sutta, help us to hear the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, attain that which is beyond liberation, beyond Dharma Artha Kama Moksha. That just so that we're clear, that's where we're headed. That's where we want to go. And this is the means to achieve it, if there's eagerness and without material motivation and qualified speaker who is not materially motivated. This stage of perfection is called Upavarga, or the perfect stage of liberation. What is the verse from the second chapter? Where religion should never be engaged for material gain, but only for ultimate liberation. Dharmasya hi. Apavargasya. I see one hand. Nice verse, you should learn it. Go ahead. It's in those, the second chapter, first canto. Nice verse. We got another one coming up. Another nice one. From the second chapter. Dharma, this is Sutta speaking. Dharma should never be engaged in for the purpose of sense gratification and artha. Artha for the purpose of sense gratification. There shouldn't be material motivation when you engage in religious activity. Rather, it should be engaged in for one purpose only, ultimate liberation. And, part two, just supposing something comes your way. There's a knock on your door and somebody brings some material benefit. This is because of your very nice, pious, religious activity. Here's a basket full of material resources. Please take them. We want to reward you. Never should that. Even if it comes without seeking it. If it comes, you never use it in sense gratification. Only in the Lord's service. Or not at all. You say no thank you, or thank you, I'll offer it to Krishna. But never should be used in sense gratification. Never. So that's being stated here as well. This stage of perfection is called Upavarga and the perfect stage of liberation. Simple knowledge of liberation. Listen to this. Simple knowledge. There's two sentences. Simple knowledge of liberation is material knowledge. Actual freedom from material bondage is called liberation. Catch that? Do it again. Simple knowledge of liberation is material knowledge. That stage which is the negation of material existence. What is liberation? It's not this, and it's not this, and it's not this, and it's not that. It's neti, neti. That's what it is. Definition by negation. It's material. It stays within the material sphere. Because it's not this and not this. Those things that we can perceive with our senses or know with our mind. That's the field of material knowledge. Liberation is not that. It's material, it's also material knowledge. It's the flip side of the coin. The dry stool, wet stool. Actual freedom from material bondage is called liberation. That's this, what Prabhupada calls in that Dharmasya, he upavargasya, it's ultimate liberation. Ultimate liberation is this fifth stage. Fifth stage meaning beyond the material conception type of liberation. But shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Service to the Lord. Beyond the stage of neutrality, the positive. What do you do in that position of neutrality? You serve the Lord. But if you don't have knowledge of service to the Lord, that the Lord has lotus feet, and they're meant to be served. That's what you do there. And one who doesn't have that knowledge, it stays material. Actual freedom from material bondage is called liberation. Attainment of the transcendental service of the Lord is called the perfect stage of liberation. Such a stage is attained by knowledge and renunciation, as we have already explained, Bhagavatam 1, 2, 12. So Bhagavatam 1, 2, 12. Tach tradadana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya. Anyone know this one? Tat shradana muneyo jnana vairagya yuktaya. He's mulling it over. He's coming to the surface. Haribo. But now you have to say it a little bit louder. Say the whole thing. Project the sound. Touch. Okay. Someone else knows it? You know. Translation fits perfectly with what we're reading. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, that's the sages of Naimisharanya and all of you, well equipped with knowledge and detachment. How did they get that knowledge and detachment? It's from a previous verse. They did Vasudeva Bhagavati. Right? Bhakti Yoga Prayodhya Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayada Haitakam. That's how they got that Jnana and Vairagya. Well equipped with Jnana and Vairagya. That means they've done a lot of devotional service with the motivation of wanting to please Krishna. Then, in that disposition, they hear about Krishna. Oh, the seriously inquisitive sage or student, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms as of what he has heard from Vedanta Shruti. It's not, there's the hearing part, and then you go to the office or lab or classroom and your space. And then you come back in the evening and you hear from... There has to be application of what you heard. Live your life in Krishna consciousness. It's a challenge. There's lots of challenges in life. Welcome to life. But this is the nice kind of challenge, the kind of challenge that brings you realization of the absolute truth in practical day-to-day life. And it's not just karma yoga. It's bhakti. Such a stage is attained by knowledge and renunciation, as we've already explained in Bhagavatam 1.2.12, and perfect knowledge, as delivered by Srila Shukadeva Goswami, results in the attainment of the transcendental service of the Lord. So, it should be understood that what we're doing is like the seed, and maybe a little bit of germinating of the seed. But we should also understand that when a seed, within the seed, is the potential for a whole tree that produces so many fruits and flowers that have so many seeds within one seed. Mystical, right? Within one banyan seed pod. So many banyan trees, and banyan trees are big, and how can you fit so many banyan trees inside a little thing? That's mystical. Or, another way of saying the same thing is, according to Rupa Goswami, sadhana bhakti is also in the uttama bhakti category, because it's, if it's done following the instructions of Rupa Goswami, anyabhilashata shunyam jnana karma jnanavritam, in Nectar of Devotion, there are three main sections. Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. So, there's so much in Nectar of Devotion about Sadhana Bhakti. But the topic of Nectar of Devotion is Uttam Bhakti. So, within the seed, and the watering of the seed, and the careful cultivation of the seed, that it produces a sprout, and two leaves that unfurl, and the whole description of the unfolding of the seed of bhakti, everyone present here and everyone who is properly engaged in devotional service anywhere under the strict guidance of Rupa Goswami is cultivating uttam bhakti. And to attain the mature fruit of that uttam bhakti, or the attainment of the transcendental service of the Lord, comes from this process. The mature fruit that is replete with so many other seeds that can produce more of the same. Therefore, please narrate to us the narrations of the unlimited, for they are purifying and supreme. They were spoken to Maharaj Parikshit, and they are very dear to the pure devotees, being full of bhakti yoga. That ends the section. They've fired up Sutta Goswami. He's going to go another whole stretch, because they're a qualified audience and he wants to speak to them. Prabhupada writes, what was spoken to Maharaj Parikshit and what is very dear to the pure devotees is Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're getting a sense of this whole dynamic of proper speaker, proper audience, and the subject matter. Srimad Bhagavatam is the subject matter, but needs to be heard in the proper way. When it's heard in the proper way, it bears fruit. Gradually, by cultivation. Srimad Bhagavatam is mainly full of the narrations of the activities of the Supreme Unlimited, and therefore it is the science of bhakti yoga, or devotional service of the Lord. Thus it is para, or supreme, because although it is enriched with all knowledge and religion, it is specifically enriched with devotional service of the Lord. So we learn about duty, we learn about dharma, we do learn about that from Bhagavatam, but it doesn't stay on the material platform because it's enriched with connection to the personality of Godhead. And same thing, this is an important principle, the whole Bhagavatam. All things, all forms of knowledge, literature, isms, and departments of knowledge, everything. When properly connected to the service of the Lord, there is a transcendental effect. And after all, we do have material bodies, and we do think with those material bodies, and we have to learn how to do those things or fulfill the needs and desires of material existence in a proper way. So that's in the Bhagavatam. But how to connect those things with the personality of Godhead? Initially and principally with joining that with the sadhana bhakti of hearing the topics of the Lord. Then comes the practical application part, which is more subtle. Not more subtle. It's intricate. But to explain the intricacies with an empty tank, not going to go anywhere. So, therefore, essential is regular hearing in a proper mood, in a proper source, on from beginning to end, the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we have a few minutes for some questions. Yes.
Yesterday's
discussion. Okay.
Every day I'm getting the opportunity for hearing, chanting, and do some service here. But I feel that this most of the time I'm troubled by this material desires and selfish attitude. And because of which I end up doing this service in the name of service. Is it because of I do not have a sincere desire to become a servant?
I'll repeat the question. Is it by going through the services that I do, I'll say it a little bit differently, but I don't feel the mood of devotion, rather I'm doing them as services and that's the platform they stay on. Is that because I don't have a sufficiently sincere desire to come to that mood of devotion? Did I capture your question? To think like that is good. If only I were more sincere. Now, when you think like that, don't beat yourself up with that. Become more sincere. Let that become an impetus to become more sincere, not an impetus to become discouraged and beaten down, lamenting, woe is me, 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 me. Lamentation becomes very me-centered. And we want to become Krishna-centered. So I sincerely desire to become more sincere. The desire to become sincere is as good as being sincere. And another way that you can think of the situation you described is there's a lot of layers of covering. Due to my past choices of free will, I'm now in this condition, but there's so many layers of covering. Prabhupada likens it to putting cotton on your tongue and trying to taste a rasgulla. The Rasgulla is tasty, but you won't taste it if you've got cotton on your tongue. The tasting capacity is reduced because of the covering. The experiencing of bhakti, although may one, just as you expressed in your question, one may be in an environment that is conducive to experiencing bhakti and not experiencing bhakti. So covered. What to do? A very wonderful verse. Tat tenu kampam susa bhikshamano. You know that verse? If due to my past misdeeds I'm in this situation where I don't have taste, I'll accept the responsibility for those past misdeeds, which comes in one form of those past misdeeds. They don't have the taste. But I'll not budge an inch for the lotus feet of Krishna and serving Him. Confident that by doing so, I'll be lifted. The coverings will be lifted. I have that faith. And that's like a spark that later becomes a flame, that later becomes a fire that burns the coverings. So very carefully handle that spark. Little oxygen. Not too much. Don't want it. Just careful handling of fire makes it grow. So that's the fire. That faith in the words of Krishna. He will deliver. Aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha yashami masucha. If you have some doubt, he gives his reassurance. Masucha, don't doubt. Don't be in any anxiety. Keep moving. So faith in those words of Krishna. And a little bit like the question from yesterday about the how-to question about how to get the eagerness to hear by service of the devotees. And even in a preliminary stage of service to the devotees, it's actually nice to serve others, even if you're not transcendental. The happiness in the quality of goodness. That my life is meant for sacrifice for others. It's a mode of goodness. It's how any mode of goodness person thinks. And there's, one becomes conditioned by a sense of happiness, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, by that. Although the service to a Vaishnava is not for that purpose, to condition us to a sense of happiness. I feel some contentment. I can get out of the box of being selfish and I can become a little selfless. There's a contentment in that. You don't experience in the selfish box. Me, 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 me. For others. When that object, the other, is a devotee of the Lord, there's spiritual contact with Krishna. Minutes before the 7:30 bell rings. Yes.
Is there a plan against the devotees and how to not commit
something happened right when the beginning of your question. Hati Mata. Okay. Well, it sounds like you already know. An elephant that's mad is very dangerous. What is it? If you're growing a garden, there's many things that can be disturbing to the garden. But some people destroy the garden as an elephant. What to speak of a mad elephant? You can't even build a fence to protect the garden against mad elephants. So that mad elephant offense, you know, that is. There's degrees of this thing. There's in the first offense is sadhu ninda. Ninda means, Prabhupada is translated as blasphemy, speaking ill of, criticizing, fault finding, different ways of vilifying, speaking harsh, deprecating words about a sadhu. That's terrible. More terrible is guru avagya. So avagya is gentler. Avagya means neglecting. So guru gives some instruction, you neglect it. That's hatimata. What to speak of, it's ninda. So, you can't build, so that's what it is, and your question is how to avoid it happening. Just don't go there. I mean, you can't build a fence. Just be very careful, exceptionally, very isn't strong enough word, exceptionally careful in the presence of those who one is receiving knowledge of Krishna from. And when you hear instruction, don't take them as ordinary. The essence of these offenses is considering something that's not material to be material, and then acting accordingly. If a person is taking the position of spiritual teacher, and one hears from spiritual teacher and one just ignores, sees the spiritual teacher as material, and then what the teacher says is material, that's an offense. And amongst the offenses, it's a very serious offense. Neglect. But we do make distinctions. Okay, 7:30 bell rang. Everyone that's got a class to go, I think we'll just even end because I have to go also. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.